I know it's touched someone's heart today. It has. Thank you. Where do we go when things are not going well? Who do we trust? It's hard at times to think that there is a solution. And Sylvia, we are praying for you. Yes. Her brother-in-law, Wally Brandmeier, passed away last Friday. And he was a teacher at the San Pasqual Academy. And I know he meant a lot to you and to your entire family. So we are praying that God will give you comfort and peace. But I think of situations that we all face, maybe even this week, where we find ourselves like, God, where are you? How can you solve this situation, this problem? Jacob had one of those problems. At this moment, he was fleeing away from his brother Esau, who was searching to kill him. He had tricked his father. He had tricked his brother Esau. And he knew that if he stayed around, he was going to die. And mom said, Jacob, I'm sad to tell you, but you need to leave. You need to go to my parents' home, my brother's home. It's far away, but I need you to go there. And Jacob was feeling sad. He was feeling lonely as he went on this journey that he knew not where it would take him. At nighttime, he found a rock where he would lay his head. Probably had never had such a sad night like that. And as he was there, I'm sure all these feelings of guilt, all these feelings of separation, not only from his family, but from God, were going through his mind. But as he was there, at that very moment, God revealed him a dream. A beautiful dream. And he saw a ladder connecting heaven and earth. And even though he felt that his sins separated, made this gap between heaven and earth, he saw a ladder that represented who, brothers and sisters? Jesus. Jesus, who would connect heaven and earth once again. He got up and he shared that this name, this place would be named what? Bethel, which means the house of God. This place, he said, the name of it will now be Bethel. God's house, God's dwelling place. When I look at the Old Testament, I find several names for the house of God. We find the word sanctuary. We find the word Zion. We find the word New Jerusalem. We find the word temple. Places that God designated as his house. And people saw it as a special place because God was there. He was present. Years later, Moses would have a similar experience as he ran away from Egypt, because he had killed an Egyptian. Again, his sin, his guilt separated him from his family, the Israelites. And out in the desert, he wandered for 40-some years, taking care of sheep, learning to be patient, learning to be of service to others. And in that situation, he saw a burning bush. And as he approached the bush, He noticed that it was not consumed. And he heard a voice that said, "Moses, take the sandals off your feet." Why? Because the place you are standing is holy. And Moses did just that. He took the sandals off his feet. And he waited to hear the instructions of the Lord. There, Moses would be told that he would go and bring his people out of bondage. Amen? There, he received instruction that he would bring his people back to this mountain so that they could worship God. And several years later, Moses, with the people of Israel, found themselves on Mount Sinai, receiving God's law, God's precepts, God's instructions for humanity, God's covenant with human beings. "Because I have delivered you out of bondage, you will serve no other gods before me." Amen? These instructions God gave to Moses and all generations after him, that we would follow in God's ways. And as Moses received these precious tablets, these beautiful words that bring comfort, that bring strength, that bring direction and guidance, he was surprised with the next request or the next instruction that God gave him. Or I want to think so. You see, when it comes to having somebody come over to your house and stay there for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, most of us have had people stay over, right? But just imagine if I told Mom, "Mom, Carolina and I, we're moving in with you. And we're moving in, who knows how long." What do you think my mom's reaction would be? "Oh, no, you're not. You can come visit. You can come spend a week. In fact, we're spending a week with them next week. But dwell, live with me? I don't think so." But that's exactly what God told Moses he would do. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 tells us, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution.'" And we find there exactly the details of what God was asking. God was asking for precious metals. God was asking for precious stones. God was asking for linen, for precious materials of different colors. God was asking for wood, hardwood, to build him a sanctuary. And I'm sure Moses was kind of surprised. "God, you want all these things, and what's the purpose for all these things?" Yes, we have all these things because we asked the Egyptians before we left Egypt, "Give us these things." He told us to. And we did. And in fact, they said, "We'll pay you to leave Egypt. Just leave us. What do you want? Gold, silver, you have it." The Egyptians were happy to see the Israelites go. And each one of them was moved to give freely. Amen? They were moved to give freely. In fact, this, for the coming weeks, Pastor Jeff and I will be studying the sanctuary. We believe this is a message that is central to our church. It's a message that we need to understand. I know we studied it in our quarterly lesson not too long ago, but, you know, we forget And it's always good to be reminded. So we're going to be studying the sanctuary. We're going to be studying some of the parts of the sanctuary. But I want to share this quote with you found in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 343. For the building of the sanctuary, great and expensive preparations were necessary. A large amount of the most precious and costly material was required. Yet the Lord accepted only what? Free will offerings of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart, ye shall take my offering, was the divine command repeated by Moses to the congregation. Devotion to God and a spirit of sacrifice were the first requisites in preparing a dwelling place for the Most High. They gave so much that Moses had to stop them. Say, don't give anymore. They had enough to build God his sanctuary. And if we keep reading Exodus chapter 25, we find in verses 8 and 9 the reason why God was asking his people to build him this sanctuary. And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may what? Dwell among them. Why would God want to dwell among sinners? Why would God want to dwell people who were stubborn in their own ways? Why would God want to dwell with people who complained the entire way out of Egypt? We studied in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. Because God so loved the world. Amen? God so loved. But he said, I want to dwell among my people. I want to reconnect heaven and earth. They're separated. Sin has caused this big separation between heaven and earth. And I want to let them know that I am with them. I have not forsaken them. I have not abandoned them. I have not left them alone. I am with them. And he gave instruction as to how he wanted this sanctuary built. Verse 9 tells us, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. And the details follow for the next several chapters. In fact, this next several books, go to the book of Leviticus, it gives instruction as to how God wanted his people to worship him. Is God detailed? He's very detailed. And when God asks us to do something, is it for his benefit or for our benefit? It's always for our benefit. God didn't want us to forget what he had done for them in Egypt, bringing them out of bondage, bringing them out of slavery, bringing them out of that country that had suppressed them for so many years. And he said, I have a better place for you. If you follow in my ways, I will take you there. In fact, I'm going to walk with you each part of that trip. I'm going to live among you so that you are sure to get there. And I find interesting that as he gives the instructions to Moses about this beautiful sanctuary, splendorous place, he starts by sharing information about the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't start by the altar of sacrifice. He didn't start by maybe the entrance to the entire sanctuary. The first instruction that Moses received there in verse 10 is, and they shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. Beyond the inner veil was the Holy of Holies, where centered the symbolic service of atonement and intercession, and which formed the connecting link between heaven and earth. What is the connecting link between heaven and earth? It's God's throne room. It's God's presence, the Shekinah that would stand over this ark. And the high priest would come in to minister before the people, and he would hear God's instructions. He would hear God's voice telling them, this is what must be done. In this apartment was the ark, a chest of acacia wood, overlaid within and without with gold and having a crown of gold about the top. It was made as a depository for the tables of stone, upon which God himself had inscribed the Ten Commandments. Hence, it was called the Ark of God's Testament, or the Ark of the Covenant, since the Ten Commandments were the basis of the covenant made between God and Israel. Inside that ark were the tablets of stone, the covenant that God had made with his people. There was also a jar there with what? Man, and there was also Aaron's rod inside. And on top of this ark, something very important. What was this called? The mercy seat. Sister White gives us insight into the mercy seat. The law of God enshrined within the ark was the great rule of righteousness and judgment. That law pronounced death upon whom? Upon the transgressor. But above the law was what? The mercy seat upon which the presence of God was revealed, and from which, by virtue of the atonement, pardon was granted to the repentant sinner. Thus, in the work of Christ for our redemption, symbolized by the sanctuary service, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Pretty daunting. God's government, based on his perfect and holy law. And we might think, God wants to dwell among us? A perfect and holy God wants to live with us? And not just for a week. I think most of us, we could behave for a week, right? A month. A year. But dwell with us for all of eternity. Be with us. Work with us. Eat with us. Speak to us. Walk with us. Play with us. God wanted to make his dwelling place known to his people. And he wanted to let them know also the work of Christ for our redemption, symbolized by the sanctuary service. In a picture form, in a model form, in a way that human beings could see and not just hear and think about and kind of guess, God was revealing to humanity his plan for salvation. Has it ended? Not yet. But praise be to God that he has been faithful in fulfilling each part of that plan. Amen? He's been faithful. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sins of the world. Jesus came to die for sinners like us. Praise God. Praise God. The matchless splendor of the earthly tabernacle reflected to human vision the glories of that heavenly temple where Christ, our forerunner, ministers for us before the throne of God, the abiding place of the King of Kings, where thousands minister unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. That temple, filled with the glory of the eternal throne, where seraphim, its shining guardians, veil their faces in adoration, could find in the most magnificent structure ever reared by human hands, but a faint reflection of his vastness and glory. Yet important truths concerning the heavenly sanctuary and the great work there carried forward for man's redemption were taught by the earthly sanctuary and its service. Is there a message for us today, brothers and sisters? There is a message for us today. We go to the New Testament, and I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to several passages in the New Testament that tell us a little bit about this sanctuary. Maybe in as we share these texts, we will read and share some important points that are presented here by Paul in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. I find this passage amazing. And you can go to several passages in the New Testament. They all talk about the sanctuary, the dwelling place of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14. We'll start with 14 and then go down to 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. In verse 16, let us therefore draw near with confidence, with boldness, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. If I could define sanctuary, I would define it as a place of forgiveness. Amen? A place that anyone can go before the throne of God, confessing his or her sins. And God has promised to forgive. Amen? God has promised to forgive. A place of forgiveness, a place of hope. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, another passage. Now the main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. The main point of the whole system of the sanctuary points to who? Points to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the connector between heaven and earth, the ladder that Jacob saw, the voice of the archangel that Moses heard in that burning bush. Can we approach Jesus, brothers and sisters? Does he know? Does he understand our condition? We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. You see what Moses saw? the picture that he got about God's dwelling place was just a replica, a model of the true heavenly sanctuary. Amen? Of that place from which God oversees the entire universe. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. This is our last passage here in the book of Hebrews. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through what did he go into this? Through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If I look at the sanctuary, I see it as a place of refuge, a place where we can obtain salvation. Amen? That's the sanctuary. Jesus offered his life on our behalf. And because of what he did, the sanctuary will also be a place of worship. Amen? When we go to the book of Revelation, we find the sanctuary mentioned time after time. God's throne being described. Angels, 10,000s times 10,000s, worshiping him. And if there's something that God delights in, is in the worship of his children. He delights. Why are you here today? Are you here to worship God? Are you here to learn more about what he has already done for you and me? Must we be afraid? Looking, studying, understanding what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Must we be afraid to approach his throne, brothers and sisters? Do we have anything to fear? Satan would want us to fear. Satan would want us to be anxious. Satan would want us to think it's impossible for me to change. But God is clear. We can approach his throne boldly. We can approach his throne with confidence because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each one of us. Amen? Nothing to fear. There is a sanctuary in heaven. And something that I've shared mostly in sad moments, I want to share with the church family because it gives me hope. This is what John the Revelator shares in Revelation chapter 21. And I want to close with this chapter, chapter 21, verses 2, talking about the sanctuary. He calls it, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is where, brothers and sisters? Amen. With men. And he shall dwell among them, and they shall be what? His people, and God himself shall be among them.'" Amen? What will God do? Verse 4 tells us, "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away." And verse 5 tells us, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Faithful is our God. He's kept his promise in the past. Will he keep his promise today? He will keep his promise today. When I think of home, my home, 413 Chestnut Avenue, Apartment D, Carlsbad, California, 92008. Been there 6 years almost. It's home. When I get home, I can rest. I can take off my shoes, my socks, my shirt. I find peace. I find safety. I find family, my wife. I find friends. And yes, when I was a kid, I could not understand that. It was hard. Why would anybody want to be home? There's so much to discover outside. There's so many things to see. And my mom would constantly, every day, remind me, come home. But why, if there's things to do, friends to play with? Well, you have to come and eat. No. There are chores to be done. No. I want to talk with you. No. I want to be outside. But as I grew older, I would be outside sometimes. It would get dark. I know it's time to go home. Nothing like sleeping in your own bed, amen? Nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Home. And the older I've gotten, I've come to appreciate it more. God's inviting us home, brothers and sisters. Are you wanting to go home too? It's dark out there, isn't it? It's been dark for quite a while. Our world doesn't seem to be getting any better. And we are invited to go home. And the beautiful thing is that God not only is showing us the way, giving us the map, this is the way you go home, but he's saying, I'll be willing to take you there if you let me. I'll take you home. I'll walk with you. Yeah, it's going to be difficult at times. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. But I'll be with you. You don't have nothing to fear. We'll get home. And wait till you see your room. All that you've dreamed of and more. Amen? Those are the things that God has prepared for each one of us. If we will trust him, if we will believe in him, if we will follow him. Amen. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing hymn number 246, Worthy, Worthy is the Lamb.